This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. And now to the authenticity question in politics. Here's David Plotz, host of Slate's Political Gabfest podcast, speaking with guest Julia Yoffe about candidate Hillary Clinton.
She seems to be running a very analogous campaign to the one she ran in 2007-2008, where she's super stilted, very cautious, very scared of the press, and being very calculated about, you know, how much of her real self she lets show.
What do you even mean her real self? Like, why is it important to identify a real self?
You would think she would have learned that lesson, that she should at least put on a good show of authenticity, but she's still, you know, she's still like, oh, no, I'm just learning it right now and I will start later.
Clinton is just one of many contenders who's been fighting to appear authentic in the eyes of the media and American voters, pushing against the stuffy, snobbish insider persona that's become especially reviled in this election cycle and given non-politicians an edge. But what does authentic really mean in politics? Well, not that much, according to University of Denver political scientist Seth Maskett. Seth is also a columnist for Pacific Standard magazine, where he's been writing about the role authenticity plays in politics. And Seth, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you for having me.
American voters and the media now seem to be obsessed with authenticity. What does that mean?
Well, we're not really sure what it means, but it doesn't seem to mean the word authentic in any sense. And that is, you know, when we hear reporters using, as in that clip, the term put on a show of authenticity. Authentic, at least my impression, is that it's supposed to mean whatever the person really is. And here we're talking about someone basically they needing to put on a show, to portray something that they may not already be, and that will be considered authentic.
Which makes me wonder. I mean, authentic suggests a person who's maybe human, you know, has cranky moments, gets tired, maybe stumbles. So do people, voters, really want authenticity?
It's not clear that they do. I mean, it's really difficult to test this, of course. I mean, it's hard to go back in time and just sort of say, well, which presidential candidates were actually authentic, and we could see whether the authentic candidate won or not. I mean, the problem with it is that it's a word we tend to impose retroactively on past elections and say, well, George W. Bush beat Al Gore because he was the more authentic candidate. But, you know, at the time, you could make a case that either one of them had authenticity problems in that, you know, they were both Yale-educated, Harvard-educated, sons of wealthy politicians, who were both affecting Southern accents to win an election. And one of them happened to get a few more votes, or at least a few more electoral votes than the other. It's not necessarily that, you know, voters preferred one over the other because they believed his story more. There's, you know, other parts of elections that seem to be much more convincing, like the state of the economy or who's perceived as a moderate or an extremist.
Here's another moment that's been pointed out as especially genuine on the campaign trail. Well, not quite the campaign trail in this case. Joe Biden speaking with Stephen Colbert last week.
I don't think any man or woman should run for president unless, number one, they know exactly why they would want to be president, and two, they can look at the folks out there and say, I promise you, you have my whole heart, my whole soul, my energy, and my passion to do this. And I'd be lying if I said that I knew I was there. I'm being completely honest.
Well, that moment won a lot of people over, including the columnist David Brooks, who says, yes, he should run for president. He's so genuine, authentic, by saying that he couldn't possibly run and be authentic. So this creates this kind of circular problem. They're politicians at heart who have to convince Americans that they have no desire to be part of a system that voters love to hate. What's going on?
Exactly. Yeah, part of the problem is that, you know, we have an instinctive distrust for politicians. And so anyone who tells you they don't want to be a part of the system, we immediately think, aha, they need to be part of the system, which creates sort of a problem. The other side of it is that when you're running for office in a democracy, you know, the idea is to win a great many votes. And that means, you know, winning over people who believe different things. And so candidates who are seriously in the game and trying to do it, they will try very hard to not offend a lot of potential voters. And in their effort not to do that, it can sound like they're not saying what they really mean. And they're not necessarily lying to us. They're simply trying to put together a large coalition of people. But to some, that sounds inauthentic. It sounds like they're putting on a show when we really want to hear what they truly believe. But of course, it's not always clear what someone really believes or what someone really is. There's not just one thing that Hillary Clinton exactly is, or there's not just one thing that any given voter really is. We're a wide range of beliefs and backgrounds.
But hasn't offensiveness and saying outlandish things in this particular election been regarded as particularly authentic? You know, that Donald Trump says what he really means. He's not afraid of anybody. So when he talks about, you know, Mexican immigrants being rapists and drug dealers, well, he's just telling it like it is.
Yeah, well, there's sort of a creepy side to the authenticity debate where, you know, Donald Trump will get credit for being quote-unquote authentic because he's not quote-unquote politically correct, which means he is not constrained at all by politeness. And there's a certain segment of the population that, you know, feels similarly. They feel, you know, hey, I shouldn't have to be constrained by that either. I prefer talking about people the way I did 50 years ago. And that's, you know, that's sort of a disturbing side of it. That's kind of appealing to a certain set of older, more racially conservative white voters. And, you know, in that sense, authenticity can be kind of a code word, not necessarily for out-and-out racism, but for a certain worldview that, you know, in many ways, the rest of the electorate is trying to move past.
Well, the kind of qualities that politicians try to display in an effort to appear authentic, many have very little to do with holding office. So how did this come to the forefront of political campaigning?
I mean, in a real sense, it's always been there in American politics. You know, you can see campaigns in the 1800s about candidates, you know, proudly portraying their past as growing up in a log cabin and, you know, not being about pretense, not being, you know, part of the stuffy upper class or part of the Washington insider crowd. You know, that's in many ways, I mean, you can say Andrew Jackson was running a similar campaign in the 1820s. He was trying to appear authentic. He was someone who would, you know, drink cider and kill Native Americans. And in some ways that appealed to a certain segment of the population as being, yeah, this is a real person. This is not a regular politician. So I think that's always been there. It's probably taken on a bit more of a role this year than in many, simply because of the presence of Trump and journalists and other politicians trying to come up with ways of explaining his, not only his early popularity, but sort of longstanding popularity, how his the sort of bubble has remained unpopped for several months now.
You do remind us in your most recent column that Hillary Clinton has been living in the public eye for more than two decades now. But people keep throwing questions like, is she being authentic? Is he, but really mostly she? Does this obsession with authenticity apply to women more than men?
That is something I wonder. And we don't have a lot of sense of this at the presidential level. I mean, there simply haven't been that many female presidential candidates who have come this close to the office before. But, you know, if you look at maybe, you know, congressional candidates, I think of like Patty Murray or Tammy Duckworth, these are certainly candidates who one might think of as authentic in the sense that, you know, they've had sort of real life experiences. They're not necessarily lifelong politicians. But at the presidential level, it might be different. Hillary Clinton has been labeled as inauthentic several times that she's run and in several other places throughout her political life. And that may just be directed at her because she's her. It may be directed at her because she's a woman. We don't have a great many cases to look at.
Well, Hillary Clinton's campaign announced that it's going to start being more spontaneous and fun. You know, sounds a little bit like planning spontaneity. So what do you think, Seth Masket? Good show of authenticity?
Well, I mean, I think it's challenging for female candidates. It's particularly challenging for Hillary Clinton running for president. I mean, we saw lots of examples of this in 2008, where she was always trying to sort of thread the needle between being seen as too masculine and too feminine, between as too emotional or too unemotional. No matter what she did, she was getting criticized for being too much of one thing and not the other. So, you know, she was criticized as being too calculating and too unemotional. And then we saw a, you know, right before the New Hampshire primary in 08, a display of emotion, a sort of a spontaneous bit of crying in an interview at a diner. And actually, voters seemed to resonate to that somewhat. Her approval ratings went up. She actually went on to win that primary. But then there were concerns that, oh, well, maybe this isn't appropriate for a president to be crying. And so then she had to move in the other direction. It places a lot of pressure on her to try and show who she really is, even though she basically is who she is. We've been seeing her publicly for more than 20 years now. We have a pretty good sense of what her personality is.
Well, Seth, thank you for speaking with us today.
It's been good talking to you. Thank you.
Seth Maschietti's political scientist at the University of Denver and author of No Middle Ground, How Informal Party Organizations Control Nominations and Polarize Legislatures, and columnist for Pacific Standard Magazine, where we read several of his columns about the role of authenticity in politics.